The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Another episode of UFC Unfiltered. And once again, I'm in my messy room because the construction is not done yet.
Now listen, and I'm going to come at you the right way because I love you so much. And I could tell the mood you're in, because if you were a superhero, you'd have a little cape and you'd be Captain Miserable.
No, incorrect.
You look miserable.
Incorrect. I'm a little under the weather, and I'm tired.
I'm sorry.
I had a rough travel weekend.
Well, I stand by what I'm saying. Then you do. You're kind of
no, miserable. But I'm sleepy. I don't feel miserable. I mean, after hearing that, now I am. But I was actually not. And I'm not in a bad mood at all. I feel pretty good. Just tired and kind of done with life being this way. Like, I just want to get the
No!
You're not getting that lucky. No, just I want my construction finished. Oh.
Jimmy, holy heart attack. Don't pause
when you're sitting there. I didn't mean to.
No, you pause at the wrong time. I was about to run to the Long Island Railroad, and I'd be there
before. Why, were you going to do it too?
Is that what you'd want? No. Little fuck? Misery, look, you want me to go too? I try to stop it, Jimmy. I know you, you comedians and your track record. Tears of a Clown is not only a great Smokey Robinson song.
We are disastrous. But no, I feel like I'm just done with life being so messy because of the construction. I just want it finished, and I want to live in my whole house.
But guess what?
What, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, well, I hate saying that. I gotta stop, get that out of my whole fucking thing. Guess what I did this weekend? No, because it takes some time. Just like I'm explaining this, it takes some time. Put down that chip glass when I'm talking to you.
Why? I want you to look at it. We have to bring in our guest shortly, by the way.
Okay. Well, now I forgot what the fuck I was going to say.
You said you hate when someone says, guess what? And you were talking about...
Now I'm going to guess what I was just thinking.
Alex Ponovic. We have not had on...
I love Alex.
I do too.
You know what? He's actually an actor that can handle himself. He used to box.
Oh, I know he did. Yeah.
And I don't know. I want to bring this up when he's on. I want to talk about real actors that are legit tough guys, not the fake tough guys.
Yeah.
Not the fucking fake. I want to talk about, look at Tom Hardy. That's what made me think about this. Tom Hardy just won a blue belt tournament in jiu-jitsu. That's awesome. Yeah.
He's under Gracie too, I think, right? Roger Gracie?
I believe so. I know Roger Gracie's huge over in the... In London and whatnot, the UK.
Yeah, yeah, it's in the UK, yeah.
If Alex is here, let's get him in, because he should be part of this conversation.
Yes, he should. You know?
And then we're going to talk a lot of, not only fights, a lot of my favorite things, pop culture.
Okay.
I like
it. We don't have a card. Isn't it weird? 280 is not until October 22nd.
Jimmy,
forever.
First of all, it's been too long, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Alex, hey, guys.
It's been too long, man.
It's way too long. Thank you so much for having me on again, man.
Of course.
We miss you. You're a friend of the show.
You have no idea how much that means to me. And the best part of it is that I have so many friends that go, hey, you have an Avengers mug?
You don't think I watched you in Hawkeye with my family? He watched that shit. You were great in that.
Thank you, bro.
I think I gave you a message that I'm watching it. I'm not sure. But if I didn't, I'm telling you now, we enjoyed the heck out of it. We did.
It was fun to do. I don't think I've said bro so many times in my life, but it was pretty fun to do. But again, thanks for having me on. You guys know how much I love the show, and I love you guys. So this is a blast.
And well, you're also like, it's nice to see somebody like, you're an actor who actually loves the sport and trained in combat sports. But a lot of guys come on who don't really watch the sport, but they'll tell the producers, oh, I love UFC. And you'd be like, so, oh, cool. You watch fights? And like, yeah, I saw Conor fight in 2016. You're like, all right. So it's great, but you're not but you're like a legit UFC fan, which is nice.
Dude, I was in, I was doing a Comic-Con in New Mexico watching the Edwards fight. Oh, my God. We were all sitting there, and I had one drunk guy beside me wanting to bet, and he's going, I told you Usman's just going to win this and lay on him. I go, yeah, I just got to see him stand up. I got to see these guys stand up more. Yeah. And I think I thought Usman was so brilliant. He knew Leon's hands and kicks were next level, and I, you know, it wasn't the Ronda Rousey thing against Amanda Nunes where she was like, I'll stand with Amanda, which is so not a right thing to do with someone like that when Rousey has that pedigree in the judo. So I thought Usman did an amazing job in the fight, and man, when Leon showed the jab and then came with the left. I'm pretty sure it was left and ended with the kick. Like, it was textbook. I told a friend of mine, it was literally, you can't throw that combination in battle round five unless you've done that combination at least 50,000 times. It's just in your body. You can't think of doing that. It's just in your body.
And with that fight too, it's crazy. And part of the reason that Edwards won was that Kamaru was still willing to engage. Like he could have. That's why Kamaru automatically gets the rematch either way, because he could have just kind of hung back, especially with, you know, a few seconds left, and he chose to still engage him. And he was clearly ahead on the card. He would have absolutely easily won a decision. So I really respected Usman for that. Even though he lost that fight, he was still willing to engage until the very end of the fight.
And how gracious he was in defeat. Like that, like, I thought he was so cool and awesome in defeat. And you know that that's not going to haunt him. He's like, here we go, man. This is the way the game is, and I'm coming back.
Yeah.
And that's part of being, I'm sure that he learned that from his wrestling career. Because those wrestlers, they could go on a tear, but then nobody's, you know, unless you're Dan Gable, who had the one loss, like, nobody goes on a tear like that in wrestling. They used to dealing with defeat. Right. And coming back from it. If they're not used to that, he never would have achieved what he did in wrestling. You know what I mean?
No. But even in boxing is all about the O. The O doesn't matter, man. Like the O doesn't matter. It's about what struggles are you willing to go through. There's so many fighters that when their O goes, they just lose all the confidence. They can't come back because boxing, I mean, as you guys know, boxing is my first love. But I want to see great boxers fight great boxers. And if they lose, you come back. It's one of those things. But that, like, to me, the UFC and mixed martial arts, there's so many ways to win and so many ways to lose. It doesn't equate you as a fighter if you have a loss. A good, like, I mean, TJ, like, we're probably going to talk about TJ because he's got his fight. Who's he's got his fight coming up?
Aljamain.
That's right. Yeah. Who is great. And I know, Matt, he's your boy. And I think he's a fantastic fighter, fantastic grappler. But TJ going up and down in weight, and when he got really lean, was the commentator dude.
When Dominic he lost, Cruz?
Cruz. Like, he lost. He just lost too much weight. So you don't see a lot of fighters. I mean, Roy Jones did the same thing. Roy Jones goes up. And because he relies so much on his speed, he can be the dude that keeps his hands down and be an amazing boxer and his speed and his power. But going up and coming down, you lose that millisecond of speed. Those shots start catching you. So I think Al's got a huge shot at easily, not easily, but I think he's going to take that fight for sure.
Back to the Leon Edwards, what made it even more, and you said it wasn't like the Holly Holm thing, and for another reason was...
Amanda Nunes, Ronda.
Is that what you said? I'm sorry.
Ronda Nunes, yeah.
Well, the difference, another difference is like, he was almost defeated going into that fifth round. I really love that clip of his right. coach telling him to stop feeling fucking sorry for himself. I mean, and it's funny. I'm going to get to this later on, but I'll save it in case I get emotional because my wife fought over the weekend. But you got to be very honest in the corner. You got to be fucking honest. I hate these shit. Yeah. When I'm watching a fight and everybody and their mother knows that the person's down, and then in between rounds, and it's the fifth round going into the corner, is like, you're doing great. You know, you're doing great. He's doing fucking phenomenal because you're right. losing. Motherfucker.
Right.
You got to be, what you're doing great. Why? Because you're making it through this fucking thing. If you want to win, you got to know you need this last round. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you need this fucking last round. And that's usually the fucking case with, especially with the judges. This fight is, there's a certain part technique and there's a certain part, you know, motivational and getting through to them. And I love that coach for it. It kills me that I'm not remembering his name.
Wait, Matt, let me ask you too. I congratulations. I know Miss Sarah won, which I think she's 3-0, if I'm correct. I was very happy to see that on Instagram.
I know Alex congratulated also. I saw that, Alex. I saw you on Instagram. That was
You were in the corner, obviously, because I watched some video of you walking out. But did she win by a decision, or how did it go?
Now, look, she won by a decision.
Split
decision. It was a tough fight. Now, this is the deal. My wife is... She's you know, she's going to be 39 next week, right? But she has no wear and tear as far as, like, on her joints and stuff because she never did anything in high school. Quiet right. Italian girl. The people that knew her from high school to now, they're like, what the hell happened to you? That's what happens when you date an Ultimate Fighter type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, you would never expect it. You'd never expect
right.
it. And you met Anne before. You know how she is, Jimmy. She's very,
very, you know, very, very a lovely woman.
Sweetheart. Yeah. So
if I want to throw it back, I want to throw it back to the corner work, because the thing is, you guys, you know, trainers are there to coach and to teach and do the repetition, push you through. You got a few more rounds in you. When you're in the corner, you can't go anymore. You can't get into the technique as much anymore. It's literally, it's all in your body, man. Now it's all heart. You know, the whole thing of, you know, one of the things that I talk about a lot of the times is, you know, Bisping, I think, is an amazing fighter. But in that fight against Henderson, he kept on going back to his power hand. I'm like, and I kept on going, why are you going circling to Henderson's power hand? That's his bread and butter. And sure enough, he gets caught. And that's where I was hoping. I never heard it in his corner. I never heard his corner going, don't circle to his power hand. And those are little things that you want the coach to be about, but the love and the passion that the corner guys have in the corner, like with the Leon fight in the fifth round, of just going, you got this, don't give up, man, you're there. Those are the guys that you need, and they have to be honest with you, and you can only trust them. You can only trust them through the process of the training. If you don't trust your trainer, and you're in those situations, it doesn't work. I've seen other trainers just give up in the fourth and fifth round. They're like, look, I don't know why you're not doing it, man. Like, you just, I don't know why you're not doing it. And it's not motivating to the fighter at all because it's so depressing.
But when you're coaching your wife, though, let me ask you too, because you said the love that they have. No. But when you're coaching your wife, it's such a different thing too, right? Because you want her to win, but you also, you have the extra, a little bit different than a regular coach would have.
Well, listen, what Alec was saying was correct as far as you have to be straight with them. Yeah. There's technical advice that should be given, but sometimes there's more than that. There's more of, you know, you got to get your head out of your ass and you're going to regret this tomorrow type of shit, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a fine line with that, but if you don't know the fighter, like you were saying, Alex, you don't belong in that fucking corner. If you worked for him with a few weeks, what the fuck are you doing there? A month ago, I did it because Ray asked me to, and I trust Ray with this kid. And he ended up knocking a guy out, this kid Armando from Law. When I was in there in the corner, Stephen Lee, the manager at Law, I told you this already. Ray's guy, Jimmy. I'm getting all over the place. But right on Ray's guys, Sarah Longo fighter. But I don't usually, my point is this, I don't usually jump in a corner. I never jump in a corner if I don't know the fucking guy.
Sure. Like,
what the fuck are you doing there? And what happens is, it's a couple of things. Some guys are there not for the fighter. They're not there for the fighter. They have this speech. No matter what happens, they probably have their speech already in their head to say, What did, you know, they're probably trying to quote some shit they're thinking at a fucking watching Troy. They don't fucking give a fuck. They know where the camera is. When I go to battle with my guys or my wife or whatever, you're in the fucking trenches with them. They're going to a fight. If they had a beef and all right, listen, we meet you down the block at the flagpole, bring a few guys, I'm bringing a few guys. It's not much different. It's a fucking fight. Don't overthink it. That's fucking it. You know what I mean? We got a game plan. This is what we're doing. If you need to remind them of that, there's some guys you don't even need. You're just there more of just fucking, like Marab. Marab's, you know, some guys are mentally just not going to have a fucking problem. You're just there to keep them on course. If anything, pull them back a little bit, like Marab. You know what I mean?
But what I've also noticed, and only the trainer that has worked hours and hours and hours with them will know that minuscule moment where you see when the fighter sits down in the corner and they have this look on them. Only you know that look going, no, don't go back to that place you went back to in training and just gave up, packed up your shit and left that one day. You're going to a spot that you don't need to go to. And then remember what happened after that. Like only the trainer that is trained hours and hours with will catch them before they do the fall. My dad taught me, was in my corner. Him and I had a very one of these relationships, right? But in the corner, very smart, has his deal. One of my earlier fights, because I come from a boxing background, 6'5", at the time I was 235, my whole thing, because this is what he taught me, was speed and technique. Power will be there. Speed, technique. That's all you have to do. And being a super heavyweight in the amateur division, it's usually ex-football or hockey players that are that heavy when you're in your 20s type thing. Yeah. So I thought that these fighters were baiting me in because they were so slow. So I would like do the feint and I'm like, he's throwing a punch really slow, but I feel like it's going to be faster. I'm not falling for it. I got to the corner. My dad just lost it. He was like, what the fuck are you doing? You're faster than these guys. And because we had headgear on, he was so emotional. He just gave me a headbutt just to wake me up to go, what are you doing? Just relax. You're faster than these guys. And I ended up winning the fight. Just trusting him and him knowing me. So it's an interesting dichotomy. You need people in your corner that know how you train, how you are.
Like I tried telling my wife, look, I'll get to that in a second. I was about to say about like in jiu-jitsu, there's like, there's the master's division and these young kids. So she's supposed to fight a 34-year-old. A month out, that girl had something to do somewhere. Something went away. Something happened.
Sure.
She was visiting somewhere. She didn't, I don't know. Something happened where she's out of the fight. So Neglia has somebody, Lou Neglia, the promoter. He goes, look, we got somebody, a girl, but she's 23 years old. She has four fights. So she has two more fights than my wife. She was 2-2, but she's a 23-year-old kid, you know?
Yeah.
So that alone, I'm telling my wife, is like, is something. If I'm that other person's trainer, if I'm the kid's trainer, I'm going to go, look, you're fighting a fucking 40-year-old. Put it on this fucking bitch. I'm going to be like, that's what I'm telling him. You're fighting a 40-year-old. You put it on him. You know, I remember when I was like in my early, when I was in my early 20s, I fought this guy, Graham Lewis, who was a legit kickboxer, but he had kind of like a comb over and he was like 36. So I remember I took him down. I fucking arm locked him at the Vanderbilt Long Island. All my buddies like, the guy's an old man. I'm like, what the fuck? But anyway, the point is my wife's a little bit older. So it was a good fight, man. But it got to the point, the first round, we expected this girl to be very aggressive because in her fight, in her past fights, we had some tape to watch. She was doing a lot of kicks and she'd do these bursts of just coming after her. But she wasn't doing it. She wasn't doing it until, and this is where experience comes in. You hear the bump, 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 10 seconds, then she'd go after her. And then when she'd go after her, she'd get my wife backing up and then my wife would come back. And all of a sudden, that's the last thing. For me, the judges in a close round,
right,
the last thing they're going to see. But my wife, in my mind, I feel she won the round. And in the second round, she did even better.
You're walking into this third round.
Yeah, so now the third
round. You're 1-1?
I felt, this is what I told my wife. I go, look, it could be 1-1. You could be up 2, you could be down 2. This is
close.
You
don't know. Too
close. You got to put it on her this round. So I got in the third round. My wife made adjustments in the second round where she was timing this girl's bursts better. You know, she was treating the aggressor, having a hard time. Maybe she was going after her. But, you know, when you want to push the fight, You got a corner. She was fighting in a cage too, which is awesome, you know? So she tried a corner. So it was a close going into the third. So like I said, I love my wife. I don't want to hurt her feelings. And when I first started telling her, she's like, really? I go, look, don't get discouraged. You're not getting discouraged. You're going after this girl. You're going fucking after her. You put the work in. We got 2 minutes left. I don't know what the judges are thinking. You got to go after her this round. And she did. So
that's awesome.
The judges, thank goodness, because one judge had a 29-28 for my wife. The second judge had a 30-27 for the other girl.
So it was a split decision.
Oh, fuck. Oh, it was a split. So I go, 30-27. I go, what the first? I'm like, what the fuck? So I go, oh, now we're definitely fucked because that one person said, so the third judge, 29-28, my wife. So she got a majority split. She won the fucking fight.
Sure she did.
Which is amazing. You know, I have my 3 daughters there, my father-in-law.
So great.
Jimmy. First of all, Jimmy.
Yes.
Cut the shit.
What? I think it's great.
He's doing it on purpose. And we're getting back to some pop culture stuff.
No, why? I love it. I think I saw the pictures. I thought they were great. I was very happy for you. And I was happy for her.
Hey, I'm really happy for her. And I'm getting my voice back. I took off. I usually do the 7 a.m. class on Mondays. But I took off because my voice is still fucking shot, man.
Yeah.
Why is your voice shot? Oh, from the fights.
And also, yes. And also, it was just Saturday night. Young Marcus. Young Marcus is he's a staple at Sarah BJJ. He's a young kid. Sweet kid. Picture if Urkel took the super serum. He's skinny, little black kid, but he takes his shirt off. He's like, wow, Marcus. He's always doing cartwheels and one-handed flips around the academy. And young Marcus is a good kid. And one time he came to me and he's like, you know, man, I want to. He's always at the school, you know. And he said, listen, I'm thinking about having a fight, an amateur fight. I go, Marcus? I go, come here. I called the matchmaker right there. I go, look. Get young Marcus on my wife's card here in Long Island. That's it. 2 months later, the kid's got a fight. And that is fucking great. It's on you can see it on my, I think I got it on my Instagram also. If not, I'll put something out there. I mean, it's so funny. You know, we went out to dinner after the weigh-ins. The weigh-ins was at Law. So my family, Coach Colombo, Carol Colombo, who's my, trained by Ray Longo. She's my wife's trainer. And young Marcus and my buddy, Johnny. We go to eat the Grand Lux, you know, we're talking, you know, I'm like, yo, Marcus, so the family come? And he's like, oh, no, my mother, my parents don't know. He goes, he's 21. Yeah. The kid, he's going to school. A nice kid. He goes, no, I figured I'd tell him after like my third or fourth fight, if it goes well. So
hilarious.
So we're at the weigh-in. We're at the event, right? And we're there early. So we're up in the front with a cage. We checked out the cage. We're sitting by the seats. I'm waiting for some of my wife's cousins to come so they can take the kids, you know. And so we're all up there. So all of a sudden this kid comes over, right? And it's Marcus's opponent, right? And now all I can say is, you ever see who's that? Who's that guy? Richard Ramirez, the fucking chuck. He's like black hair, black eyes. Yeah. And he comes over, right, with a hoodie on. And he's like, hey, guys. He's like, hey, hey, how you doing? You know, we always show respect, right? And I'm sitting my family and Marcus. Me, my wife, my 3 girls, and Marcus. Hey, you know, hey, good to see you. Okay, good. Hey, you ready? Yeah, we're ready. I'm ready. Good. Right, we have enough. You gotta take off. You gotta leave. They gotta go stay ready somewhere. It was go, Jimmy. It was go. What are we gonna say next? We're really, really ready. Kid, get the fuck out of here.
Sorry. I just got to interrupt because I had one of those moments. I've told the story a few times in my amateur career. I was fighting a guy because it was in Canada. It was the provincials. And I'm at the weigh-in. So you weigh in. I'm with my dad. And the guy that I'm fighting was a big, big, strong, muscly, stocky kid. But he was one of those guys that was trying to intimidate me. So he had his mouth guard in at the weigh-in. And he's just chewing on his mouth guard at the weigh-in, looking at me. And I'm like, this guy's a little off. And then you know how you warm up. So we were the last fight, super heavyweights. We were the last fight on the card. So we're there early. I go to the bathroom at the second fight. He comes to the bathroom again. It's like not in a massive place. He comes. He's already geared up. He's got his headgear on, mouth guard in, at the urinal right next to me. I'm like, all right, I guess you're ready, huh? He goes, I'm ready. with his mouth guard in. So then then he's going to the warm-ups, and he's going crazy on the warm-ups, insane. My dad looks at him and he watched the warm-ups, comes back and goes, Alex, just be cool, be calm. This kid doesn't know what he's doing. He showed up to the event, rented a limo. Again, amateurs. Rented
a limo. Oh, I love them.
Dude. Rented a limo, came out with his girls. We get to the fight. He's bouncing around and everything. And they don't do the like middle thing in the amateurs. So the referee just kind of gives us the okay, time to fight. He sprints at me, grabs my legs, and tries throwing me over the top rope. That was the very first moment. So I kind of do a turn. Hold on to the rope. The referee comes in. There's a video of my dad coming from the corner with his big meat hook ready to slam this kid. Other coaches are yelling, no, no, no. So then they separate us, and he's now going after the ref. And I'm going, dude, calm down. We're going to fight. We're going to fight. It's going to be okay. Hey, we're going to fight.
Alex, did this guy have any other fights prior?
One fight.
How'd that go?
That sounds like wrestling energy.
Win by rage?
it literally was. So we let it go. We let him do the came in. Again, he came in like this, and it was just a nice, easy uppercut. Dropped him. Now he's on the ground like I knocked him out. I didn't even feel like I did. He's on the ground like I knocked him out. I'm about to step over him because I'm in the corner, and he does like a push-up and springs right up and tries to throw me over the rope again.
That's funny.
Then they call the fight. But why I'm telling this story is because it's this weird intimidation factor that they think it's going to get into your head. The more experienced you are, the less you need to do any of that shit. There's there's intensity. There's cool intensity trying to get in other people's heads. But that what you're talking about, it's just out of the norm. It's just weird.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What do you think about, it's funny you're talking about the game of being intimidated, and it made me think of Anderson Silva, and obviously he's fighting Jake Paul in the boxing. Now, when you look at a guy like Silva, who is really good at that mental game, he's good at getting in your head, and that's why, I mean, it cost him the belt with Weidman, because he was trying to get in his head, and he got fucking dropped.
Exactly.
What do you think, and a guy like Jake Paul is good at getting in someone's head, because he annoys people, pisses you off so much that you want to just swing for the fences and kill him.
Right.
What do you think about this fight? I mean, a part of me thinks Jake Paul is going to win because he's so young and he hits so hard, even though I really want Anderson to beat him. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting. Anderson's 47 years old.
Is he 47?
I think he's 47. Wow. Look it up. I think he's 47. But he still has his skills. He's a cagey veteran against a young buck that is full of piss and vinegar. That's a totally different ball game. It's a totally different ball game because the cagey veteran can like have that nice move. Now, if Jake isn't that wily kid that wants to knock out the legend, I totally see Anderson using his skill and his movement. I hope he doesn't try to play around with him with his chin down or anything, or chin up in the air. I'm going for Anderson. And it's so weird when this whole thing started with Jake Paul, I was not a fan. I just thought this is bullshit. But the kid can fight. The kid has some, and I love how he's doing it. He's doing it in a way that's building his brand and building his name, and actually building the fighters that are around him, which is really interesting because he's holding these cards with actual fighters on the undercards that are getting paid. I love it. I think it's great. I think how he's going about it is great. But I think Anderson is a really big test. Which Anderson's going to show up? Is it going to be a 47-year-old Anderson, or is it just going to be a dude that knows his range, knows his technique? And because, again, as you know, it's not always just speed and power. It's the timing of the punches. It's throwing those punches in between the wide punches. Like it all depends who shows up, but I think it's brilliant on Jake Paul's part to pick someone that is that much of a name, but also 47.
And has been boxing. Like, Silva has been boxing. So I don't think Silva plays games with him, because Silva knows that he has power. And I think he's also taking boxing really seriously. And at 47, you can't afford a mishap. But I don't think Jake runs right in thinking he can knock him out, because he used to idolize Silva. And right. When you're fighting someone that you look up to that much, you might even make them out to be a little larger than life. So he may go in cautious. And if Silva uses his speed, and he's never fought anyone who moves like Anderson Silva.
But it's also, that's what happened with Israel. Israel was fighting his legend, and, yep. and he couldn't get him out of there. So I agree with you in that, and seeing how Jake Paul, but does he have that maturity to go in there and not be awestruck and be a little bit, you know, trying to get out there, his energy. It's just a compelling fight and smart, but I really feel like Anderson's going to pull this off. He's going to pick him apart with a jab. He's going to move a little bit really nicely. And what he did, he fought Chavez Jr., who was a world champion, and he beat him. So yeah. He's got the endurance. He has the fight background. It's eight less or six less limbs he has to worry about, with the elbows and the knees and feet.
Yeah.
So it's a straight up boxing match, which almost makes it like, this is easier than if I'm doing MMA. And I know, and I feel like Anderson understands his own cardio. So it's just a compelling fight. I might even go to that fight just to take in the environment.
Hey, first of all, I'm going with Anderson too. I think Jake's going to try to get him out of there. He's going to commit to a punch. He's going to roll some shit, counter him. And I believe, if you don't think he hits hard, look what he did to Tito's huge head.
And yeah. plus, the older you get, the punch, the power doesn't go away. It's just going to get heavier. He's just the bone density. You know, he's just, his punches are just harder. So I agree.
Although he does, you're right. He has to worry about like the eight less limbs defensively is great. But offensively, he also has a few less weapons. And when you're as good as he is and you move the way he moves, how much of that, the fact that you also had to worry about his knees or a tie clinch or his feet, Jake doesn't have to worry about any of that. So I wonder if that added to some of what he was able to do in MMA, because he also was able to use those weapons.
Makes total sense. But again, his hands were always great. I mean, look what he did with Forrest. It was all hands with Forrest. Like, it was so interesting to watch someone be that good. I just hope he doesn't fuck around. I hope he doesn't try to be in the corner, hold the ropes, and try to do a Muhammad Ali. You're not that spry that you can get away with that. I want to see him take it seriously, relax, and just have fun and let his hands go. But I am going with Anderson.
Yeah.
Hey, I touched base on it earlier. Did you see Tom Hardy compete in a jiu-jitsu tournament? Did you see that?
Dude, I thought it was awesome. Well, check this out. I did a film with him. I did a film called This Means War with him. Nice. And if you see it, I play an overzealous MMA dad.
Oh.
That's cheering his like 6-year-old son to land crazy elbows on this kid, and it's his friend's son. So we're like standing next to each other, and I'm like, ground and pound, and he's like looking at me, and so we had this cool interaction. If you remember to watch it, it's because I slap his face, I slap his ass, I kind of demean him a little bit, and then he turns it around on me at the end of the movie. But this was right after he did Warrior, so we got into this amazing discussion. He was like, man, for me, Warrior, I fell in love with MMA. MMA was like, I was blown away at the training, blown away. So that was way back then when he did, right before. So This Means War, he just finished shooting Warrior. So he was already in the MMA. We were talking. I think we went and watched a UFC at a restaurant after that. But he's legit. He knows his shit. He's very serious about his shit. So to watch him win it, I wasn't surprised, because I know he's been doing it this long, but to watch him compete and win it was really cool. Really cool to see that he's still at a high level and wanting to continually learn. So his skills were already there. So it's pretty cool.
It's always surprising to see someone who is an actor win. It's always, even if he's good, to see them actually win like a real a combat match is really always a surprise, because that's Tom Hardy's a guy who doesn't need to put that much effort into it because he's got money and a huge career. So the fact that he's willing to do that is even more impressive.
He's not Mark Gastineau. So he's legit. He knows the stuff that he's doing. And it was really cool to just, I mean, we obviously didn't do anything in the film that we did together, but watching him in Warrior and how excited he was to be a part of that. I'm stoked that he kept it up.
It'd be great that if he was in that jiu-jitsu tournament, when he had his back of his opponent and he's strangling him, he should hit him with like Bane lines. Like, you feel like you're in charge and shit like that. I can't do anything. Do you feel like he put his hand on his face? Bane was great. Bane was a great character.
Amazing. I stole some shit from him. And when I saw him do some stuff physically, that I was like, oh, fuck, I'm using in that and some other shit that I'm going to do. So, yeah, he's honestly one of my favorite actors right now. Like,
he's great. Mad Max.
Oh, my God. But even, before that, he did some amazing films that I was like, who is this fucking guy? And he's just that guy. And sweetest fucking guy you'll ever meet. He'll bro out with you, but also be super kind to anybody that's around him. He's a really, really great dude.
What movie is this from? Don't leave the belts. Get the pelts. Don't forget to pick up the pelts.
Remnant.
Yes. Pelts, right? Pelts.
Yeah, very good.
Dude, everybody's getting scalped. He's like, don't leave the pelts. It's fucking crazy. That movie is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Great. But check this out. Remember with his hair, how his hair was all kind of screwed up because it was like an attack, like it was after some sort of and so I did a TV show called C with Jason Momoa, who is also an amazing fighter. That dude can fucking fight.
Can he really?
That dude can fight. And so I remember seeing him in that, and the character that I play in C, I basically said, fuck up my hairline, fuck up my thing. And they're like, well, how? And I just showed them the picture and they're like, oh, okay, got it. So if you ever get to see C and see me in it, that hairstyle is inspired by the dude.
Are you still doing Snowpiercer or no? Is that done?
We just finished season 4 and they gave us the final season, which was great. So we got to wrap it up. So it's coming out in the near future.
That's how many seasons that you said?
Four.
Now, how much shit can happen on a train? Isn't it on a train?
Yeah, it's 169 cars or something like that. So it's so it's like a whole, and the train, what's so cool, I'm going to say it. If I get in trouble, fuck it. It's so cool because we find a pocket of land in season 4, so we can actually get outside of the train. So as an actor, we get to see, because the in the set, in the studio, you don't get to see the outside. We're just in the cars. That's where all the scenes take place, right? So in the set that they built in this pocket, we actually get to see the size of how this train is. And we're sitting there going, I had no idea that this is how big this fucking thing is. Because we finally got to see it from the outside. So it's 169 cars. It can, thousands of people live on this train. So
what's it called? I've never seen it.
Snowpiercer.
That's awesome.
There was a movie with Chris Evans I watched.
That's right.
How did you, is it like that at all? Or is it way different?
It's definitely derived from it. There's a lot of stuff that is from it, but Jennifer Connelly plays the lead. Diggs plays David Diggs plays the second lead in it, and he was from Hamilton. He's one of the dudes from Hamilton, but he kills it. Connelly kills it. And everyone had a crush on Connelly, so I was like,
Labyrinth.
Yeah, yeah.
She's young. She's young in that. I'm not saying.
Yeah, but she's still.
Let me name an older movie fan.
She still looks phenomenal, but yeah, they do such a great job in storytelling on that show, and they, it was supposed to be only 2 seasons, but they gave us another 2, and Jennifer was kind enough to go, yeah, I want to finish and do another 2 with you guys. So we were very lucky to kind of get it done. But it was interesting because in season in season three. I had a very nice, great story arc, but I couldn't do it because I booked Hawkeye. And then they were so gracious enough to let me go do Hawkeye, write me out a bunch of episodes, but also allow me to come back instead of just killing me.
Right.
So then now season four, you get to see kind of the evolution and the finishing off of all of our storyline. So it's cool. Very cool.
I've been written out of things too, but it's never because I had another project. There was never that reason.
Didn't they bring you back in Power? Oh no, didn't they shank you or something?
I got killed after two seasons. Yeah, I actually didn't think I'd make it two seasons though.
Isn't that the best feeling? Like you literally think, okay, in and out, but then they call you back. It's like, oh, I guess I'm doing something right. Cool.
A few episodes, yeah. And then it was the season finale. They killed a lot of people. So I was happy I made it as far as I did. Awesome. What do you think? I think it's my eyes are so bad. I believe it is this Saturday coming up, Mackenzie Dern against Yan Shannon. I think that is this Saturday. Am I crazy or no? Let's get confirmation on that.
Is that this Saturday?
March 1st on ESPN.
Oh, it's March 1st. Okay. Wait.
Way off.
No, wait. That says match one.
Oh. Wait, hold on. That's
that says match one. You're messing me up here.
Oh, my bad.
It is this Saturday. I knew what you did.
It's very small. I'm making it.
I did the same thing when I looked at it because the
you
day
thought
is
it was
not.
March 1st?
No, I knew it. Oh, it says September 27th right on top.
Where?
Oh, that's a contender series. That's Tuesday. See, I'm all. It doesn't say the date. Yeah, it says on the side. Sorry, October 1st.
On the fucking side.
Totally my fault.
You guys are a stitch show.
No, you know what it is? It's I like the new prep sheets. The new prep sheets are very good. They're structured a little differently. So the date is on the side, and Matt did the same thing I did. I thought it said match one, and I looked up March 1st. But Matt just, yeah.
We got a new producer, just so you know. Not that we're
this one was my fault.
So professional here, Alex. I think you know us by now.
But I know you guys.
We got.
I just love the riffing. The riffing I can watch forever.
Oh, we have so much fun.
I know.
What do you think? What do you think, Mackenzie Dern or Shannon? She's lost. Yana's lost two straight, and Mackenzie Dern is five. She's number six.
I like Dern. I've always liked her style. And I don't know, man. Yeah, I like Dern. I loved her style. Yeah.
I know. I mean, listen, I always kind of am biased towards the jiu-jitsu people. You know what I mean? I know her father, the great Megaton Diaz. I like Mackenzie Dern. I like her trainer also, Jason Perillo. He's getting some shine out because how good Marlon Chito Vera is.
Yeah.
But he's been around a while and he knows his shit. He's obviously with Michael Bisping also. He's got a champion and he's a really good trainer and he gives a lot of personal. It's a real Mickey Rocky bond with him and his pupils.
Mickey Rocky bond.
Yeah, I like it. I do. And Mackenzie Dern, he's smart enough to make her dangerous with the hands, but also know what her bread and butter is, and that's her jiu-jitsu. Her jiu-jitsu is fucking phenomenal. I mean,
how frustrating were you know? Sorry to take it off this fight for a second, because I love the discussion about trainers and fighters because that relationship can make or break a career. Like it's such an a lot of people don't think the trainer has that big of an impact, but they so do. And how frustrated were you when Rhonda just decided to stick with her boxing coach and not go to her bread and butter all the time? I totally get she was knocking people out, but you got to have that thing in you that makes you go, okay, I'm making this harder than I should. And to have the trainer there going, use your judo, get them on the ground, go to your bread and butter. We can do the next fight. We can work on the hands a little bit more. Like right now, let's just get the fight. Like Nunes has such great hands. She has great jiu-jitsu too, but I know I'm going back to the Ronda thing because it's the epitome of not listening or not going to your bread and butter was that fight.
But didn't she try? Let me ask. Sorry to interrupt, Jocelyn. Let me make because I remember her grabbing for. Didn't she try to grab high? But Amanda is just such a good puncher. Didn't Ronda try to get in and maybe throw her or get a hold of her and she just couldn't?
I did. You're absolutely right. But she did that after she took a bunch of shots. So then she wasn't setting up her takedowns. So she was just like just trying to grab. She was already hurt. I would have loved her to do a lot more feints and at least try with feints and getting in there and movement, getting off the cage, rushing her. I would have loved to see a little bit different and just as opposed to like feeling out her hands right off the bat and then eating a few shots and then it was the grab. So no, I totally hear what you're saying. I felt like that fight could have went a lot differently if she didn't listen to her corner.
There's
in that aspect of it.
Yes. Yes. Well, there's creative ways you can use to getting it to the floor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Personally, I was looking to pin up Eve Edwards up against the cage. He was making enough space to fucking knee me in the face. I pulled butterfly guard. I attacked his leg. I got on top. Shoni Carter, I did it from the clinch. There's other times I'd shoot in. I know I'm not getting BJ Penn down, but I'd shoot in, lift up his leg. Then I drop it, hit him. Then I lift up the leg again, take him to the cage. It's about keeping him guessing, doing things.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a ton of stuff you could do then. And all those fights I just met, well, minus the first Shoni where I got the back fist. I got out on skate. You know what I mean? From being on bottom to getting on top several times. So that's how she could have done a lot of stepping in with a jab, stepping out, stepping in, looking for a single. There's different ways that you could do a whole camp on just closing that distance being the main aspect of it. Even going to jump the fucking guard. She's so good on bottom. She could tie up those long arms of Nunes and possibly get a submission. She'll get a reversal. And then she's, you know what I mean? So that's as a coach, that's where I would have tried to.
I love that you said that because I was literally going to ask you what you would have, how you would have got her going into that. So that's very cool.
I mean, I was going to say it's similar. How about this? Look at Merab, and I know Dana wasn't happy with it and he didn't like the performance. I fucking loved it. Look at Merab versus the great Jose Aldo, who just retired and we love him.
Yeah.
And what a career he had. But, you know, look at him in that. Did he fall in love with his hands? He struck standing up. He was hitting them, but he stuck to the game plan. Out of everybody in that whole fucking division, minus Aljo, you know, we thought Jose Aldo was the hardest fucking matchup because he's hard to get down and he's hard to keep down. Nobody's ever really did it except for Max Holloway, and he did it after knocking him down with strikes. You know what I mean? And then
That's right.
If you're a strict grappler, ask Chad Mendez, ask these other guys, the great Frankie Edgar. It's hard to time this guy and get him down. And Merab stuck to his game plan. He did not play into that guy's strengths because, hey, all right, he got shitted on in the post-fight thing by Dana. You know what's worse than that? Going to the hospital and fucking decapitated, trying to be a hero, doing a Muay Thai match with one of the best who ever did it in the case.
Oh, did Dana? I don't remember that. Did Dana not like that fight? I don't remember his.
Oh, he took a huge, huge dump on him.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fuck.
Dana Merab didn't win any fans over. And listen, I love Dana. I texted him the other day, unrelated. I'm like, yo, I forget that creepy crystal ball shit. Do you hear what he did? Do you hear about this?
Yes, but he looks good, man.
Is it about how long?
10.4 years, yeah.
Did you hear this or no? Guys, let's talk about that for a second.
He looks great. I've been meaning to text him and ask him what the fuck he did because he looks shredded. Like in the last couple of months, you can tell physically he's different than he was 3 months ago.
Well, maybe I saw him.
When I saw him at the weigh-in, I was like, is it just me or this? He's leaned out huge.
A lot.
You've leaned out huge, Matt.
What's that?
You've leaned out huge. What? Yeah, there it is.
Yep. Did you ask to see my abs? Jimmy, I have any excuse to do it.
I know. It doesn't matter what it is.
I used to be a fat guy. Dana used to shit on me on a daily basis. He'd always see me. Hey, you look like you ate Matt Serra. That was his favorite. But anyway, you can't say that no more. He fat shamed me. The fat shaming works.
Yeah, but dude, anyway, you're ripped right now. You're ripped.
You're the best. We should have you on every.
Hey, you know what I haven't seen in a while? Your abs. Can I see your abs again?
Come on, stop the shit.
There it is.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm in awe every time.
I'm sorry, guys. Let's get back to this. Hey, I don't want Dana to live. I don't like that shit. I go, dude, that fucking creepy crystal ball, cut the shit with it. He goes, dude, wait till I tell you. Wait till I see you. I got to tell you. So it's like, would you guys want to know if you could ask.
I want a ticking clock, man. I don't want a ticking clock.
But it's not a ticking clock. It's not a ticking clock in a definitive way. It's a ticking clock if certain changes aren't made. So I think it's really helpful. Like if he's looking at blood results and he's sitting down and he's going, but you can change that ticking clock if you make this, and it's all probably pretty good advice.
But I totally agree with you, but it's different. We all have a ticking clock. We just don't know when that clock is going to end. But to go for a physical and go and do your blood work and go, okay, look, man, this is what you need to do is fine. But don't give me 10.4 years. I don't want that in the back of my head. I just want to live a healthier, better life and then move forward and take everything for granted, not take everything for granted. But that whole now it's like I even now will remember 10.4 years and go, and who knows? You're right. It makes me go, okay, I got to live this day a little bit more realistically and in present and make sure that I do the things that I should be doing. Maybe the ticking clock is cool, but that scared me when I heard that and hearing I got 10.4 if I keep on doing what I'm doing.
You know, nobody thinks about it, but you're like, realistically, like, what do you got? I'm 49 soon. I'm 48. Like, what do I got? What do I, if somebody goes, oh, Batman, you're dead in 30 years. You're like, oh my God, 30 years. I got this and that to do. Actually, 30 sounds pretty good. But 10 years is fucking brutal. That's fucking, I don't like that, Jimmy. And Jimmy, I'm trying to make this a positive thing. It's not a Wonderful Life movie, you fuck.
No, but I mean, it's good. First of all, A, two things. A, if the boss wants to know, I'm all for the boss knowing. And second of all, I think it's good because you're reacting to tests. It's not some guru that cups your balls and says, now let me just get, it's a guy who's looking at blood work. So if you're going to a guy who's looking at blood work and say, do this, and you're seeing results, that's a great thing.
Then you know what? I'm second guessing myself now because obviously he took it to heart and took it seriously to the point where that's what he looks like right now. He's in the best shape of his life. And he's good. You know, anything after 10.4 years now is a bonus to him. So maybe it is a great thing.
Yeah.
Or why is he looking so good? Did he make a deal with the devil? is he looking good to a certain point? And then all of a sudden, look, man, the hour of the glass is going full through. I don't know. Listen, Jimmy, that was going nowhere. Jimmy.
Well, I enjoyed it, man. I disagree. Jimmy, I think I'm sorry, buddy.
You're a bully.
I'm not.
I want my friend to be around. I'm gonna go out and buy some fish oil because I don't know what my test would say.
Wait, did he say to eat fish oil?
No, I'm just saying it's
good. Okay. Cholesterol,
you know,
I'm literally because I know that guy won't give me the time he gave Dana. So I'm literally just trying to leech off Dana's advice through you. Like, what did he tell Dana? Like, whatever he told him, I'll do the same.
Yeah. What did he? What supplements is Dana starting to take right now? What is he like staying away from? Meeting. And honestly, now that we keep on talking about it, it could be something that kicks your ass really nicely to get you into shape.
You go there and the guy's like, well, according to my thing, you got a few years. I'd be like, yo, what?
I'm robbing a bank, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I mean, who is this guy?
My mother told me I only had 2 months to live, and she said it when she was pregnant with me.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I got a question. Peter Yan or Sean O'Malley? Go. Come on, Alex.
Yan is so strong. Man, he's strong, and his boxing's a lot better. And you know who I equate it to, and obviously in different era, different sizes. It's Ali and Frazier. You got Sean O'Malley, who's slick and moves and has great punching and has great timing in between shots. And then you got Yan, who's really strong, like strong wide shots, and he keeps coming forward. So is it the Matador and the Bull, and who wins? I'm a big, like, I think O'Malley's, I think I love O'Malley's style. Jan's just a, he's just a beast though. So it's a pick 'em, but I would go for, my heart wants to go for Sean just because I love his look. I love what he's doing. And I have a feeling he'll catch him coming in. And I always feel like the bigger guy is a good boxer that's has the height and reach will always beat a good boxer that's shorter and with a smaller reach. So it's all depending on how he's catching him coming in. Feints are going to be huge for O'Malley to bait him in. I'm gonna go with O'Malley.
Jan's a 4-1 favorite, which is interesting.
Well, Jan has beaten Sandhagen. He's beaten Sandhagen. He's beaten Uriah. He's beaten Jose Aldo, Dodson. And O'Malley has fought some good guys. But O'Malley against Munoz, there was a no contest. And against Chito, he got hurt. I don't know why I said Chito and pronounced it. But O'Malley has not beaten the level of guys. I think Sean's a very talented fighter. But he has not beaten the level of guys I think that Piotr Jan has beaten.
But he hasn't matched up with him yet.
I'm just saying that's the only thing I can think
of. I totally agree, but there's something about if he can catch him coming in, that could be a different story. But
sure.
Peter's got, I mean, he's beat some beasts. So experience in those type of fights like edges out. But there's something about that fight for me that I see this is the only way O'Malley's going to go to the next level. This is almost a Conor Aldo type vibe. He's got to make this happen to make his star rise. And it's got to be in spectacular fashion.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very interesting fight. I could definitely see Piotr beating him, but I could see O'Malley tagging him too, outpointing him, staying away because he definitely has a reach advantage. But Piotr's like a little fucking cyborg. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys. But you know, hey, look, Aljo beat him twice, so he has lost a couple of fights.
Yeah.
I mean, the second fight was really the telling one.
That was such a smart fight, man. Oh, yeah. Sterling, such a smart fight.
What do you think about Makhachev against Oliveira? I mean, I would like to see Oliveira, but Islam is really just so devastating. He may actually win that fight.
I think it's a close fight. I don't think if we're going back to pedigree, I don't think he's fought the guys that Oliveira has fought.
That's true.
But we have seen Oliveira fold, not lately, but we've seen him get hurt. That's a tough fight. But if Oliveira is in that amazing confidence line, he's next level. But Israel's a beast. So that's a tough fight, man. That's a tough fight.
Islam is so confident on his ground game that he's wondering why people, I mean, Khabib, they even said, like, how could you say he has a good ground game when he's been finished, like, how many, 7 times on the ground, something, I forgot how much times, I don't want to paraphrase that.
Right.
But they're kind of shitting on his ground game because they believe in their wrestling and their Sambo, they have their shirts out there that's, if Sambo was weak, it'd be jiu-jitsu, something like that, something weird.
Yeah.
Right. But this is the thing. I'm not just saying, and I love Islam. I love those guys. I think they're bad. I'm a big fan. But as a jiu-jitsu guy and knowing how pinpoint accurate Charles Oliveira's jiu-jitsu game is, people like to point to, oh, well, look at Kevin Lee. He was matching him on the ground. No, he fucking wasn't. He was getting out of a fucking, it's like one of those fucking wildebeest that's getting across the lake and he's got out of the crocodiles and another one's got his, he was getting out of one fucking thing to the other.
Right.
And it's a matter of time before he was done. And he, it's not like he was down there resting. He was getting out of a fucking leg lock. Now he's in a guillotine and he's got his back and he's fucking, he finally, dude, he didn't know where to go with him. So all you need is one mistake, one little bit of overconfidence, saying, all right, if he puts me in a guillotine, Dustin Poirier, Khabib didn't give a fuck about getting his neck in. He knew that Dustin goes for the guillotine. He said, I'll let him put him in there and I'll let him tie himself out and then I'll get out and I'll beat him. If that's the same kind of attitude with Charles Oliveira, I think Charles could, if he doesn't tap him out, could literally put him to sleep or break something. That's how much I believe in his jiu-jitsu. And you put that together with how he's looking standing up. He's not looking timid. If he gets him, you know, on wobbly legs anytime and is some kind of grappling exchange, it's even more to his favor. So I don't know. It's very, very interesting.
It's the mindset. It's his mindset. If he's going in there as confident as he goes in there in the last few fights, it's a different Oliveira, man. Like it's going to be. That's just a really interesting. But yeah, they're both beasts, man. They're both beasts. It's really fun. This is going to be a fun one to watch for sure.
I love a good ground war. I love them.
Yeah,
there's fights that people point to. Hagler Hearns in boxing, and they go this one, that one. I point to stuff like Damian Maia versus Ben Askren. I point to that. Jake Shields versus Damian Maia. There's certain things that I like jiu-jitsu used in combat. I love it. It's fucking.
Yeah.
But listen, I know we're getting late in the hour.
Yes.
I gotta go, Jimmy. I know. But I really want to talk about a couple of the shows I'm watching because I like the people to know what I like to watch.
Sure.
Because they want to know. Or if they don't want to know, I just love discussing the pop culture. A couple of things. One, and Jimmy, you told me about this, or Longo. Longo definitely told me about this.
I probably told you too.
Okay. The Offer on Paramount.
Never heard of it.
Were you serious?
No, I read the book. I actually have not seen the show. I want to see the show. I'm kidding. I read the book. It's about the making of The Godfather. It's called Leave the Gun, Take the Cannoli is the book, which is amazing.
Did you ever hear about this?
I know I have.
Godfather, it's a movie, yeah.
It's called The Offer, and it's based on, like, you know, The Offer You Can't Refuse. It's based on, it's basically how the, it's a series on the Paramount Network on how The Godfather movie was made.
Yeah.
How the mafia didn't want it made. But holy fuck, you don't. You heard stories about how Frank Sinatra was upset, how he's portrayed in it and this and that in the movie, The Godfather. Yeah. But this is really, I'll tell you, Longo was telling me forever to do it, to get it, to watch this show. And I'm like, holy shit. I watched the beginning of it. The guy, one of the main guys in it, he played a boxer in a movie, the guy who broke his neck, Vinny Pazienza.
That actor,
fuck. He's a great actor. But awesome. But it's a good movie. So I'll tell you right now, what a great show!
I'll watch it because I love the book.
That's my next one. That's my next one. The Offer. I'm gonna get it.
I have to tell Jimmy these things because normally I talk about what I'm about to say, and that's the next show I'm watching, which Jimmy's not going to watch, which he should. What's your favorite Star Wars movie, Jimmy? Rogue One. Yes.
I loved Rogue One, but I would say
Jimmy. No,
the original. I would say probably The Empire Strikes Back is my favorite.
You're gonna fuck up. No, he usually says like the Christmas special, or and then he says Jar Jar Binks is his favorite cat. He usually just
he is my favorite character. Wasn't he in The Empire Strikes Back?
No, stop it.
It was with Liam Neeson and Jar Jar Binks. That was The Empire Strikes Back.
Can I just tell you something though about this show? Did you ever see Rogue One? Oh, Miles Teller is the actor. Miles Teller.
Yeah, Miles Teller. Yeah.
Well, if you saw Rogue One and you liked Rogue One, there's no Baby Yodas in it. I'm not shitting on Baby Yoda. It's great. I watched The Mandalorian with my kids.
Sure.
Right.
Book of Boba Fett was they made him soft and this and that. But Rogue One, Andor is about one of the characters in there in the rebellion. It's a very spy-like, man. I don't want to give too much away, but there's murder.
Oh, see, that was definitely on my list. And a lot of people have been talking about it, but you're giving it the thumbs up.
Loving it. And the last thing I'm watching, I'm really loving Andor. And The House of the Dragon, I'm enjoying that. I didn't see last night's episode.
I'm a week behind. It's okay.
I haven't hit it up yet, but I will. But we got to talk about my show.
Tell us.
You guys.
What?
That's his agent screaming at him. How come you haven't talked about it?
Talk about my show.
Come on, man.
Hold on. I got to get my agent off the phone. So it's called Gen Zeros. It's on genzeros.com. And it's a show that our team is producing and it's getting quite a bit of interest. But it all started as an NFT. A company called House of Kiba developed these robots. And in a very short amount of time, like I'm talking under an hour, it made $7 million in NFTs. So look at this. They basically, how do I unplug this thing?
Just throw it against the wall. You're a big man. You're 6'4". Throw it against the wall.
That's great.
Break it with your hands, Alex.
So tell us, what is this about, this show?
I'm going to let it just roll.
No.
So it's called Gen Zeros. And so it's basically what it happened today. Aliens came down, took all our resources and left. And then the show picks up 200 years in the future, 2222. And the aliens are kind of not there anymore, but 10 factions were created. And in these 10 factions, they built the world to where it is now. And the aliens left a lot of stuff because they just took the resources. So we reverse engineered the next level. And so technology is thousands of years in advance that we have now, but the population's at a stone age because the aliens came and killed whoever were in their way. So we have a show called Gen Zeros, and it's on genzeros.com when we tell it with live action. So you get the idea of the characters, and then we go into a comic book, which you get to really see the environment of what we created. And then the last panel of the comic book chronologically goes into the live action. So I think you guys have an image of one of our NFTs. Yeah. So that's basically
very cool.
Yeah. So that's my character in it. Ooh. And the big show, Paul White is in the show. Some actors from the 100, and I'm a part of Aurora Clan. My character's name is Bishop Kane. And the responses we've been getting has been pretty great. But the cool thing is that we have new faction members all the time. So if you want to throw up the next faction, the next character in the next faction, this is we're so proud. And Jim, you're a part of Children of Them, and Children of Them are just badasses, and they're with the aliens. So you're now a part of Gen Zeros. And then if you could throw up the next one, there
we go. No, boo! I look chubby, and you got the GSP.
That's perfect. It's perfect. It matches perfect. No, it's great. No,
and you got the belt. Come on, you got the belt.
You got the belt.
Did I steal George St. Pierre's fucking headband?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. I take it back.
That's what I'm saying. Is that you took the champ's thing? It's like it's yours now in your belt. So
am I wearing?
Who else?
Am I wearing my dad's armor? It looks like my arm is too big.
That doesn't sound right, too. You have the champ's thing on your face.
No, he's the champ's thing on your face. Anyway, I just wanted to share with you a little bit of fun we had with being on the show and showing you guys.
That's great, man.
On our show, yeah.
I'm actually trying to watch the trailer now. As soon as we click off, I'm going to watch the trailer. I think I need to reboot my computer because it keeps. But it's my connection. But it looks. I like how it's shot already.
Where's the trailer?
Kind of like from almost like from closed circuit TV cams. That's what the trailer looks like for this.
Well, yeah. You just go to genzeros.com, and what we did because it's an NFT. I don't want to call it an NFT project. It's literally a fantastic TV show with NFT components, but we're so proud of the show that we gave away on genzeros.com the first four chapters or eight chapters. So it goes from the live action is a chapter, comic book is a chapter, so you can chronologically see the story. Yeah. And what's been great is that we've been getting amazing responses from distribution companies. And, you know, we're talking to a lot of streamers to make this an actual full-fledged show. It's got the palace intrigue of Game of Thrones. It's really cool. It's a really cool idea. And we have the prologue that basically tells you how we, you know how Star Wars has that dialogue that comes in the beginning. So the first couple minutes in the animation aspect of it just talks about how it started and where we are now, and this is where the show takes place. So anybody that's watching genzeros.com, it's something that we're really proud of. I'm in Los Angeles right now. We just finished a film festival where we got to talk about the show and talk about the NFT components of the show, which is really cool.
That's a G-E-N zeros, just so Gen Zeros.
Boys, by the way, I apologize. This is how stupid I am. Oh. And we can't even, I literally went to the wrong website and was looking at something else. And as it was going on, I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like what Alex is talking about. So I apologize. Now I am on the proper one. I will watch this. I am truly an idiot.
Throw up some graphics so people can see how it's spelled.
Oh, this looks really, it's G-E-N-Z-E-R-O-E-S.
Yes. GenZeros.com. And honestly, it was one of those things where these guys made a lot of money on just images of robots, 10,000 uniquely different images of robots. And in 40 minutes, they made $7 million. But the best part of it, they were like, we need to give our community more. So can we make a TV show? So they came and asked me if I would help produce this TV show. So called a lot of my friends, got people involved, and we got to be able to do this and give it to the fans. And now we're looking to do the series or the feature and on a next level for the world to see. So anybody can watch it. It's for free, genzeros.com. And if you like it, you can follow our community. And it's something that's, it's really special to us because fans are so involved within the project.
Yeah.
You go to a lot of these, you're involved with a lot of like the sci-fi stuff and everything. Is that a personal, like, you, is that something you personally just enjoy, or is your agent like, you're right for this, or is it just
I just wanted to work and being out of Vancouver, there's a lot of sci-fi stuff that happens, so I was just taking jobs and it just happened to be sci-fi, and it's something that I just really fell in love with the community. There's no better fans in the world than sci-fi fans.
They're
amazing, and it fills my heart that I can, you know, go to a Comic-Con and people can get excited just to meet me, and I can, like, that blows me away. I love that stuff.
The New York Comic-Con in a couple of weeks, my buddy Armando, he's so great. He got me and my kids, my wife, we're gonna go there. My kids, my girls, especially my oldest, my 13-year-old, beyond excited. They're getting
so great.
Oh, she got a Captain America. They just love. They're really into it. For girls.
Wait, Matt, is that next week in New York?
It's Friday. I'm not sure if it's next week or the week after, but soon. It's coming. Yeah. It's not this Friday, but the next Friday, I think.
That's nice.
Yeah, so I'll be there. I'll be there with the kids. Maybe we'll meet up, Jimmy. We'll be dressed.
I'm going to be out of town, or I actually would go.
All right. Definitely. You'd have to meet up with us and be part of our, you know, the New York Comic Con, October 6th through, let me see what they're saying.
Yeah, I'll be gone.
I think 6th through 11th. 6th through
That's 11th. A great, I was at that Comic Con a few years ago. It's a great Comic Con. It's awesome.
We were going to go last year, and then they had the weird shit with they had to be vaccinated, and my kids were so upset. So I'm so happy that we're able to go this year, you know.
Stoked, man.
But hey, man, shoot. Anything else, Jimmy? We got to have you back soon, Alex. That's a blast.
Oh, man, I love talking fights and work. I did a film with Anthony Hopkins, legend, and it's called Zero Contact. And we did that film, Zero Contact, right when the pandemic hit, because a friend of mine went to go shoot a movie in Bulgaria. The pandemic happened. They couldn't go, and they were basically going, we have to stay creative during this time, so let's shoot something over Zoom. So I was like, yeah, let's shoot something. I'm totally down. So we're setting up our old, basically like this kind of format. And then he called Anthony Hopkins because Anthony was doing these hilarious Instagram videos and just kind of like going crazy. And my buddy called Anthony, who we worked with before, and he said yes to the movie. So it's called Zero Contact. It's out there. So it was an NFT movie that turned into a Lionsgate movie, which is out that you can rent. It's out online. It's on all the streamers. But with the strength of that, and I think NFT is the future, but the strength of that and the NFTs, we're now shooting the second and third film with Anthony Hopkins. And we shot in Antarctica in December. No Hollywood scripted film has ever shot in Antarctica. So we were there for 9 days. A storm kept us there 15 days. There's no airport. We slept in tents. We were in sleeping bags and hoodies and just sleeping in these tents. It was something I've never experienced, and not a lot of people have. So now we're making the second and third film of that coming up this December again.
Wait, you got to hang out. What a life you have. You got to hang out on a fucking block of ice with Anthony Hopkins. That's pretty awesome.
No. Hopkins didn't come to those shoots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was our storyline that comes with it, but he's the mastermind. He's a very eccentric mastermind of a quantum leap time machine. And we're the ones that end up jumping off. We're supposed to go to Easter Island and then Cairo, but having Anthony Hopkins, I mean, if you look it up, Zero Contact, what blows my mind is that I'm on the fucking poster with Anthony Hopkins. Like, that's to me, I can fucking retire right now and just be like, I'm good. Because he's one of my heroes. And
yeah.
Okay. Now, do we have time for a mini story here?
Yeah. Okay. Fuck yeah.
Okay. Well, check this fucking thing out. And I'm gonna spit it. No. I don't care. I don't care if I get in trouble. So I recently did a show with Schwarzenegger.
With who?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow.
Oh. Okay.
So I'm geeking out because I've been a fan of his. Like, it's the Governator. I've been a fan of his since day one. Pumping Iron fan, day one. I go to set for Wardrobe, but my storyline's separate from his.
Yeah.
So I'm like, God, I have no scenes with him, and it's his last day shooting when I'm going to do Wardrobe. Oh. So I'm like, shit, I gotta meet him. I just gotta meet him. So I asked the first AD. I go, look, I'm the new kid in school here. But if there's a chance I can meet him, amazing. If there's not, yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah.
So sure enough, he goes, you know what? His car pulls in the back. Why don't we go to the back? And when he comes out, best I can do is ask him. I'm like, great. So he's about 20 feet away. The car pulls up and I see the AD kind of like talking to him and gesturing over his shoulder about me being there.
Uh-oh.
And finally, Arnold kind of looks over his shoulder, sees me and gives me the nod. So my heart's going, because I'm a fang. I love meeting celebrities. I love, sure, meeting people that I really admire. So I'm fangirling yeah, a little bit. My heart's going. I walk up to the motherfucker and I go, he puts out his hand and shakes the hand. I go, thank you so much for having me a part of the project. I'm a huge fan. You know, I love Pumping You. And I love Pumping Iron. And what? And he was like, wait a second. You love Pumping Me? I went, no. I love Pumping Iron. And he goes, he just kind of stopped. I don't swing that way. Hits my shoulder. Have a good time on the show. And he leaves. I'm like, no. The thing that he got from that was that I love pumping him.
Was he playing with you?
Oh yeah. He was hilarious. Yeah. He just saw a moment where he could take the piss out of me, but my soul left my body when I said, I love pumping you. And I just tried, pulling all that shit back. That was anyway, he was amazing. He took the piss out of me as he should. And he was just awesome. And it was one of those fan moments. So when we talk about Hopkins, yeah, and stuff, so.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Cause I thought it was going to go south about not wanting to meet your heroes. I'm glad that ended nice. I was worried because I like Arnold. I'm a fan.
No, he was, dude, he was great. He's so much fun. He's so witty. He's on point all the time. And he was super gracious. And he just saw a moment to play with me. And it was, I would have done the same thing.
I love that. I like to play with Jimmy a lot. Jimmy, yes, you should have a movie of the aliens coming down and kidnapping you. And me and Alex got to go save my Jimmy. And I have something in my head. I'm going to bring it up. But anyway, Alex,
Jimmy, good talking to you, Alex.
What do you want
to?
Not
nothing. As soon as you said I have something in your head, we all knew you were lying. I think it's.
You're so mean.
Wednesday night. Wednesday, every Wednesday except for one in October, I'm at the Fat Black Pussycat here in New York running my hour. I'm very happy. So. And also check out Alex's genzeros.com. Is that what it is? GENZEROES.
Correct.com
to see your NFT project. And it's always a pleasure, man.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Sorry, Alex. Matt's Sarah BJJ, of course. And Matt's on Cameo.
Hey, did I say that Young Marcus won by rear naked choke? I don't even know if I said it.
I don't know.
I told him, look, when that guy came up, there's that little, his opponent, the little ghoul. I go, you send little Nicky back to fucking hell. He goes, man, I'm not losing to this guy. And he didn't. He went in there. He took this.
And choked him out.
And he flattened him out. And he got a rear naked choke, Young Marcus. So congrats to him. Congrats to my better half and Sarah.
Yes.
So, and it's a great weekend for me. And it's always great to catch up with you, Alex.
Yeah.
You guys, it's an honor to always hang out with you. And people still talk about how you rear naked choked me on the first time we hung out. Which is like a badge of honor for a lot of my friends. So thanks for making me look good. And I love being on the show. Thanks for having me, boys.
Do it again.
Yeah, we'll see you soon, man. Okay.
Later, awesome. Guys.
Alex, take care. Matt, talk to you Wednesday.
Later, Jimmy Bird.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.